It's a blessing to be here this morning and to share. A few questions here, and I thank you, Hugh, for coming. I did have a question for you. So let me just ask Hugh a question, and let's see what he says. And I'm just leading up here to what I feel God has given to me this morning. Would you, Hugh, would you feel like you're ashamed of working for JB's and making the carrot cakes that you bake? Are you ashamed of that in any way? Or do you feel quite well about it? Not at all. He feels very, very happy. Okay? So he's not ashamed that he's known as the carrot cake builder of JB's bakery. He's not ashamed about that. I wouldn't either. It's a good carrot cake. JB's has a good reputation. So it's a blessing. I figured that would be his answer. Deidre, you just had a grandchild, right? Are you ashamed to talk about that? Or no? You're very excited to talk about that. Nice little grandchild. Nothing to be ashamed about. I thought about asking Vadim if he's ashamed to talk about bees, but we all know that, so it's not even we don't even have to ask him that question. Vadim is not ashamed to talk about bees, about honey, and how good it is for you. He's a believer. He's a believer in it. I don't think, I could just ask this question to Carlson. Carlson, are you ashamed to talk about your new relationship that you've started? No, he's not. The other day we were chatting about something else, and he just started talking about it. He's not ashamed. He wants to know more about it. He's willing to talk to probably any of you about it. So we're not ashamed to talk about things, to be identified with the things that have our attention, that we're excited about, that we believe in, right? That's just kind of the way it goes. Now, to all of us, have you ever been ashamed to be identified as a child of God? To be identified as being someone maybe just a bit different? To be identified as someone that maybe is believes differently than what the rest of the group believes, or where you've had to stand for what is right? Have you been just a bit ashamed about it at times? The message title this morning is entitled, Ashamed of What? Recently, and what brought my mind to this message, Dave here had shown me just a short little video clip of something that his parents, I don't know if it was his father or mother, sent to him. They were here about 2 weeks ago. But since they're home, they live on a farm, and they raise sheep and different animals, and they have local Muslim people that will stop by and buy sheep and slaughter them on their place, and then they take those animals home to eat. And there was a little video clip of one of these men that was there, and I guess it was time to pray. And so he was doing that in his fashion, in his way of praying to their God. And he was doing that in their back garden, just wide open. Was not ashamed of it whatsoever. It was what he needed to do. It's what he believed in. And it kind of put me to shame when I seen that, and the way he was just doing that, expressing that out in the open, unashamed. And I had to think, what about myself? How many times have I, maybe when it comes time to pray in the public for a meal, do I think about bowing my head? You know, what happens if someone sees me? What do they think? Ashamed of what? Am I ashamed of sin or ashamed of God? Looked up the word ashamed. It would mean reluctant to do something through the fear of embarrassment or humiliation. And I think we understand what being ashamed is. It's there's fear involved. There's an embarrassment that comes with it, or we feel at times does. There is things we need to be ashamed about. The world is not ashamed to believe or to do what they do. I'm amazed at what we see in the world, the way people dress, the way they look, the color of their hair. Some of the clothes are so tight, you wonder how they got in them. Some of them are so loose, you wonder how they stay on. They're not ashamed to live that way and to walk around. Immodesty, music, all of that. Not ashamed at all. So a few questions that I ask myself and I ask you. Have I ever been ashamed to stand for what's right in a crowd of people, maybe among your own peers? Have I ever been ashamed to be identified as a believer of Christ? And that can be through our dress and through our speech, what we say, how we say things. Have I ever been ashamed to speak for Christ to someone that I don't know? Let's turn in your Bibles to Genesis chapter 2, and let's see where shame kind of first comes on the scene and what brought that. Genesis chapter 2, and we're going to read the very last verse of that chapter and then move on to chapter 3. So Genesis 2, verse 25. This is right after God had created Eve, brought him to Adam. Verse 25 of chapter 2, it says, "And they were both naked, the man and his wife, and were not ashamed." They were not ashamed. Now, chapter 3, verse 1. "Now the serpent was more cunning than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said to the woman, 'Has God indeed said, you shall not eat of every tree of the garden?' And the woman said to the serpent, 'We may eat the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, you shall not eat, nor shall you touch it, lest you die.' Then the serpent said to the woman, 'You will not surely die, for God knows that in the day you eat of it, your eyes will be open, and you will be like God, knowing good and evil.' So when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree desirable to make one wise, she took of its fruit and ate. She also gave to her husband with her, and he ate. Then the eyes of both of them were opened, and they knew that they were naked. And they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves coverings. And they heard the sound of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God among the trees of the garden. Then the Lord God called to Adam and said to him, 'Where are you?' So he said, 'I heard your voice in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, and I hid myself.'" So the word ashamed here at the latter part, you don't see that word, but you see words like this, that they hid themselves and that they were afraid. And that is because they were ashamed. Shame came because of sin. They had sinned and now there was shame. I would say that that is where this whole, and like I said, this thing of being ashamed, I'm not saying there's not a place for that. There is. We need to be ashamed of sin and we need to be shameful of sin that we do commit. But to be ashamed of the Lord Jesus Christ and for standing for truth and righteousness is what I'm sharing and want to talk about here this morning. What would you do if you had a bottle of pills? And this bottle of pills would cure absolutely any and everything there ever was to cure. Anything from cancer to, I have a list here. Cancer, maybe someone had an accident and they got hurt and they'd take a pill and they would just get better immediately. Maybe baldness. You take a pill and you grow hair. Just anything that anybody is having a problem with, this bottle of pills would cure it. If it would actually work, you nor I would be ashamed at all to share that bottle of pills. And when this bottle's empty, guess what? There's another one that you would have, and you would just be able to cure any and everything that there is out there. You wouldn't be ashamed, neither would I, to pass those pills out. I say that to get a picture of we have God's Word that is a cure for, not for cancer, not for someone that's hurting that, but is a cure for our spiritual lives and will equip someone to live that life here in this earth and will prepare them for all eternity in heaven. Do we grasp that? Do I understand that? And that's why I say we need not to be ashamed of sharing the good news. What is it that causes me to be ashamed at times? It's not that I don't believe in God. I believe it myself. I'm not doubting that. But what is it that makes me at times wonder, what do people think? And then because of that, I don't speak or I just back away. I believe fear sums it up very well for me. Fear of being maybe ridiculed. Fear of being turned away or not accepted. Fear of maybe being challenged about what you believe. This past week we had 60 students in here, and Gideon and I stood up here and they asked us questions. I was not ashamed at all. That's what we were here for. I was not ashamed to answer those questions. But am I ready for that as I'm working, as I'm driving and I stop somewhere, someone asks me questions. Am I ashamed to share with them, or am I willing to do that, and do I know what to share? Psalms 118:6 says, "The Lord is on my side. I will not fear. What can man do unto me?" You know, at times I feel the most comfortable to blend in with my surroundings, and that's what I think for me to be ashamed of something. I'm a little fearful because I'm going to be standing out. I'm going to be different. And so we tend to want to blend in with our surroundings. For us as believers, we can blend in this morning. I don't think any of us are ashamed to be here. We're ashamed to stand up and to say what we believe. But when we leave here, or when we go on holiday, or when we, say for instance, if I fly from here to the west coast of America, and my plane lands in Las Vegas, and I don't know if any of you know what happens in Las Vegas, but it's a gambling city, and you can land in that airport and you can gamble away. So I've left Dunmore East Christian Fellowship, and my plane arrives in Las Vegas, and I have a layover there, and I'm heading on. Does that give me the right to gamble at Las Vegas Airport? I'm just there. I'm away from the church. Well, of course not. We know that. So what about a holiday experience, and you're somewhere where you're away from church and the people and the community? Are you ashamed to dress the way you do? Or is that kind of a means of allowing you to do what other people are doing surrounding you? We need not be ashamed, and I encourage each one of us to stand for those times when we're away from our people, our community, where we're all alone. Stand for truth. Don't be ashamed to stand for what is right, no matter where you're at or what comes in front of you. Hebrews 13:8 says, "Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever." Years ago, we as a family, before we actually moved here, so it's almost 6 years ago, we were traveling as a family, and we were in Missoula, Montana. I think that's the name of the town. And we had been out to Utah, and we were kind of traveling around. And that's about, 1,000 miles away from Abbeville, South Carolina. And we needed to stop somewhere to get a bite to eat, and so we seen a McDonald's. Well, we know what's at McDonald's. We know most of us have eaten there. And so we stopped there, and I got what I get at McDonald's almost every time. Now, I've switched since then some, but there's two sandwiches that I get there. And the one is just a simple one. I'll order a quarter pounder. In fact, I have one here this morning. I order a quarter pounder with cheese. Some people saying ooh, some people like it. quarter pounder with cheese, and I order it with no pickles. Because if you get it with no pickles, they're going to make it fresh. And so if you want a fresh sandwich, order it without something, and they're going to make it fresh for you. I got that sandwich, and I brought it back to the vehicle. I think we were eating on the go. And I bit into it, and I said, you know, that sandwich tastes just the same in Missoula, Montana, as it does in Abbeville, South Carolina, 1,000 miles away. I come over here to Ireland, and I go in to Dublin, come in here to Waterford, wherever I'm at, and I go to a McDonald's, and I order a quarter pound of cheese, no pickles. It tastes the same as what it does in South Carolina. It smells the same. It looks the same. And that's what they're after. That's what they want. It's Irish grass. I haven't tasted Irish grass. But it's very, very close to the same. You go back to America, you probably wouldn't tell the difference. But the point I'm making is we as believers of Christ, no matter where we're at, need to be the same. That doesn't mean we need to dress exactly alike. I'm not saying that, but I'm saying we need to live the Christian life, to not be ashamed who we identify with, so that people, when they come across us, they talk with us, they get the same response. They see us out walking the beach. We're going to be the same people there as we are at home. You understand what I'm saying. So let's not just blend in with the surroundings around us because we're all alone or it's convenient or it's what I just feel the best doing. Let's not be ashamed to stand for truth. There is many verses in Scripture, and we're going to just go through some of them where it speaks of not being ashamed. And with almost every one of these verses, there comes a key. So if you're writing down notes, you can just put some of these words down as ways to not have to be ashamed. I couldn't think of the right word there. Psalms 25:2, and the first number of verses here come from Psalms, from David. Psalms 25:2. And I'm just going to read, these are just kind of verses by themselves, I'm just pulling out, so it may be hard for you to turn to each one. But it says, O my God, I trust in thee, let me not be ashamed. And this ashamed here is let me not be disappointed. That would be another word here. Let me not be ashamed or disappointed. Let not mine enemies triumph over me. So the thought here is trust. Oh my God, I trust in thee. Let me not be ashamed. And when I'm trusting in something, then I'm not let down by it. I'm not going to be ashamed to talk about it because I trust it. I believe in it. So where is your trust? Is your trust more of an inward thing, you're trusting yourself, or do you have a trust in God? And I believe as our trust is in God, and we believe and we are focused on that, then we will not be ashamed as the enemies around us are doing things so much different and are trying to tell us it's the way it's to be done. Psalm 31:1 is another verse that talks about trust. It says, In thee, O Lord, do I put my trust. Let me never be ashamed. Deliver me in thy righteousness. Psalm 25:3 says, yea, let none that wait on thee be ashamed. So what is this waiting on God? I asked a question to each of you and to myself. What does waiting on God look like? I think if we wait on God, he'll give you the strength and give me the strength to not be ashamed. It says, let none that wait on thee be ashamed. Let them be ashamed which transgress. Sorry, let them be ashamed which deal treacherously without a cause. Waiting on God. What does this waiting look like? Psalm 27:14 says, wait on the Lord, be of good courage, and he shall strengthen thine heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. And I believe this waiting is spending time with God each day for each one of us. It's reading God's word. It's meditating on it. It's waiting on God. It's when I don't wait on someone, I'm going without them. When I wait on someone, I'm waiting till they arrive, and then we go together, or we discuss whatever, or we talk or communicate. When I leave without God for the day, you're going to face times of embarrassment or being ashamed. I really do feel that. Psalm 31:17. Let me not be ashamed, O Lord, for I have called upon you. Let the wicked be ashamed, and let them be silent in the grave. So, calling on to God, I don't believe you're going to be embarrassed or ashamed if you're calling on God regularly. Call on God. It has to do with waiting. Call on God. Ask Him to go with you. Call on Him in the middle of the temptation or the struggle that you're in. Call on Him. God will answer. He will be there for you. Psalm 34:5. It says, they looked unto Him and were lightened, and their faces were not ashamed. What happens when someone gets embarrassed or something? A lot of times they blush, right? And that's literally what it means here. Your face gets red and you blush because you're just embarrassed about it, something that happened. But when we look unto Jesus, as we look to God, our faces won't blush with that embarrassment. They're going to radiate. And we're going to be willing to stand and to say what needs to be said. Where are we looking? Where are you looking? Are you looking to Jesus, the author and the finisher of your faith? Or are you looking inwardly? That's where so much of this happens, as I look inwardly. Psalm 119:6. Then shall I not be ashamed when I have respect unto all thy commandments. Here's the word respect. When I respect God's word and the commandments that are given, I won't have to be ashamed. And I don't think that pressure will be there near as much either, as I respect God's word. Psalm 119:46, I will speak of thy testimonies also before kings and will not be ashamed. The more you speak, the more I speak for the Lord. And I think that can start right here in the church. But the more you share your testimony, the better and the easier it's going to be to share that in the world around, and you won't have that feeling of maybe being ashamed or being afraid to share. What is your testimony? If someone would ask you, or if I would ask you, so-and-so, stand, give me your testimony. Do you have one? What would it be? Would you stutter around? Do you have one just like that? Can you share something that God gave to you recently through a meditation, through prayer, through whatever? And by the way, this message is to me 100%. So I'm not preaching to any of you individually. I'm preaching to myself. Psalm 119:80. Let my heart be sound in thy statutes, that I be not ashamed. Am I sound? Are you sound? Do you know where you stand? Or is it because Mom and Dad said this, or it's because the church has always done this? Are you sound? Do you know that what you're doing is God's word? That it comes from God's word. It has its roots back to God's word. If we're not sound, if you're a bit wishy-washy, I'm not sure, or like Dwayne asked, we asked the question, well, what's wrong with that? Or what? Why can't I do that? We can ask some of those questions, but let's look at why we ask those questions. And a lot of times I think it's because we're not sound. We don't know. And so we try to find out. Psalm 127:5. Happy is the man that hath his quiver full of them. What's the them? What are we talking about? Children. Okay? We're not supposed to be ashamed about a large family of children. It says, they shall not be ashamed, but they shall speak with the enemies in the gate. As people find out you have four children, five, six, seven, eight, whatever, you hear their response. You know, a lot of times they'll say something maybe kind of cutting or whatever. They don't mean it bad. But are we ashamed about that? Or can we say, these children are a blessing of the Lord, and share with them how God has given them to us? There's nothing to be ashamed of. In fact, I think as the world looks in, they see. I just enjoy it as a father taking my young girls, and I still do, but I enjoy taking them, especially when they're young, and they see them for who they are, and we've had so many compliments, and we give all the glory and honor to God. Our children can be a way of you testifying to the goodness of the Lord. Happy is the man that hath his quiver full of them. Isaiah 50, verse 7 says, "For the Lord God will help me, therefore shall I not be confounded. Therefore have I set my face like a flint, and I know that I shall not be ashamed." It's back to this being a solid person. Like a flint. Are you set? Do you know what you... Don't wait until the time of the temptation or the time to stand for truth. Don't wait until then to try to decide, what am I going to do? You know beforehand, and then when you get there, there's no question. Romans 1:16, we're moving now to New Testament scriptures. Romans 1, verse 16. "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek." So we have here the power of God, and we have this idea of believing. If you hold and you have the power of God within you, you won't need to be ashamed to share the good news and to be a different person than those around you. Do you have that power? We sing it, "I've got the power in the name of Jesus." And I pray that we do. But sometimes I go maybe and I feel powerless and I look back, and it's not because the power isn't there. It's because I have maybe not plugged in that morning to get recharged or whatever needed to be done. Romans 5, verse 5, and says, "And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto you." Do you have a hope? That goes back to your testimony. What is your hope? And it speaks about the love of God. So when the love of God flows out through my life and I have this hope, it's like it's these pills. It's a hope that I have. I'm not ashamed to be different, to testify for the Lord wherever I'm challenged in. Romans 9:33. "As it is written, behold, I lay in Zion a stumbling stone, a rock of offense, and whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed." Here's the word "believeth," and we spoke on that earlier. Philippians 1:20, it says, "According to my earnest expectation and my hope, that in nothing I shall be ashamed, but that with all boldness." Now here we're speaking of boldness. "That with all boldness, as always, so now also Christ shall be magnified in my body, whether it be by life or by death." And I don't say in this boldness that we use that in a wrong way. We can testify for Christ and be so bold about it that it pushes someone away. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about being bold enough to just stand for truth. And as people ask you to question or who you are or what you believe, we mention the name Jesus and we talk about the Bible and the principles. We're bold as it relates to sharing Christ, of course, in a positive way. 2 Timothy 1:8, "Be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me his prisoner, but be thou partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God." There it is, partaker of the affliction. You will suffer a bit of ridicule or shame. I see it. You know, you see it. You're in town or something like that, and someone looks or whatever, and they smile, and they turn to someone else and say something. That's okay. It's okay. It's not about you. It's about the Lord Jesus. So we have to be okay with that. If someone maybe smiles in a bit of a way you don't like, smile back. Go to them and ask them, "What are you smiling about?" or something like that. And bring up, ask, you know, what's going on. 2 Timothy 1:12. "For the which cause I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed, and I am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day." So there's the word belief. There's this thing of being persuaded that God is able to keep you, to keep myself. 2 Timothy 2:15, it says, "Study to show yourself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth." School children, you sang that song this week here in front of these students. You remember? You sang it in rounds. "Study to show yourself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth." So as you study, as you work for Jesus. You don't need to be ashamed about that at all. God will give you the strength. There's two more verses here that relates to what we're going through. Hebrews 11:16 says, "But now they desire a better country, that is a heavenly. Wherefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he hath prepared for them a city." So here is a desire for something that's better. And if I can keep my vision, if I can keep my eyes on that, looking beyond this world and the things that I want or feel, but look for that better country, then it says that God is not ashamed. He's not ashamed. And you won't be ashamed as you keep that vision and you keep that focus. What is my desires in life? Am I looking at this other country, this better country? Or is my desire somewhat self-centered right here, the here and now? And then in 1 John 2:28 it says, "And now, little children, abide in me, abide in him, that when he shall appear, we may have confidence and not be ashamed before him at his coming." Just changing a bit of direction here. Here is what God's word tells us will happen to those that the Lord Jesus, when he comes back, who he will be ashamed of. Mark 8:38, it says, "Whosoever, therefore, shall be ashamed of me and of my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, of him also shall the Son of Man be ashamed when he cometh in the glory of his Father with the holy angels." Very, very sobering. I don't believe this verse is saying that if I go out this afternoon or tomorrow and I don't share because I was fearful, I don't believe it's saying that I'm doomed and have no chance. But I do believe that it is saying that if I live my life and I constantly, and I feel that thing of being ashamed, and I'm not sound, and I don't wait on God, and I don't feel myself with God, then I don't have what it takes to stand, and I don't live the Christian life, because we are called to go and to spread. We're not called to go out and be ashamed. We're called to go out and share the Lord Jesus Christ. Very sobering to think that when Christ comes back, there will be those that he is going to be ashamed of because they were ashamed of him. And that needs not to happen to any of us. Ephesians 6:20 says, "For which I am an ambassador in bonds, that therein I may speak boldly as I ought to speak." Ambassadors, that's what we are. We're here in a country that we live in. It's not our country. We're seeking a better one, but we're ambassadors for the Lord Jesus. Ambassadors to countries from other countries. They're not embarrassed to, they're there because they're standing for their country, and we are called to be ambassadors for the Lord Jesus. Now, I'm going to ask a few questions, and you just answer yes and no. Was Noah ashamed to build the ark? No. It brought safety, right? Because he wasn't ashamed. It brought safety to him and his family. Was Daniel ashamed to keep praying to his God? No. What did it do? It brought glory to God. As Daniel stood in the midst of all that ridicule, it brought glory to God. It put a story there for us to learn today and to our children to learn, and we've learned. God was glorified because of him standing for truth. Was Esther ashamed to plead for her people? No, she wasn't. She went. She wasn't ashamed at all. She went, and it spared many, many, many lives because she was willing to go. Was David ashamed to meet Goliath? No. He was small, and Goliath was big. He didn't have near the equipment. I mean, talking about two opposites, he was not ashamed in the least bit. He went with the fear of the Lord. He waited on God. God went with him, and he flung the stone, and we know what happened. It brought victory. Paul and Silas in jail. Were they ashamed? No. What did they do? They sang, right? And it brought salvation to the jailer, his household, and all of that. And we could go on and on. The three Hebrew boys, they weren't ashamed to stand. We know that. And because of that, what happened? Many people turned to the living God. But we think of someone like Peter, as he was identified with Jesus at one point. And that's me. I think that's you. We believe, we know God, and we believe in him. But Peter had a spot in his life where he was ashamed to be identified with Jesus. And it brought him shame, and it caused him to lie, to say the untruth. Now, I believe Peter took care of that. But there was that period of his life where he turned and he was ashamed of his own master. I think of Judas, another man that was very much a part of the work of the Lord. And Jesus was here and he was one of the disciples. But yet, there came a point in his life where I think he started losing out somewhere along the line. And he soon wasn't sound, and he soon started being ashamed. And it led then to him betraying his own Lord. A closing verse that I want to close with, 1 Peter 3:15. Actually, let's say it together. Turn in your Bibles to 1 Peter 3:15. And we will read this verse together. First Peter chapter 3 and verse 15. Take this verse with you as you think of sharing Jesus and doing it with boldness. Ready? Verse 15. But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and always be ready to give a defense to everyone who asks you a reason for the hope that is in you, with meekness and fear. Thank you very much. Let us kneel for a closing prayer. Our Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you that you're a God that knows each one of us, God, and at times where we have failed you, and maybe being ashamed to stand for truth. God, I pray that you would forgive us. Give us a boldness, God. Give us a waiting on you, a time where we spend with you. Help us to be sound, God, in our beliefs and where we stand. Give us courage, God, to be men and sisters, women that would follow, that would be a light, God, to a world about us that is in darkness. Help us to be willing to share that light, God, and to see it as something that maybe could save someone from all eternity as we share a word of hope. Give us a testimony, and God, help us to share that testimony just among our own people and then to the world around us. So we thank you for your word, and we thank you for the victories that we can have because of the blood of Jesus Christ, and I pray that we would go in that strength. Thank you for the church here.